That Vegas thing last night, the Leafs, it's remarkable. The power play, right? Like, we got airtime to fill, and people got columns to write. But do you look at power play stats, Elliot, and go, why does everybody do this? Now and then they're going to go 6-for-9, and then they're going to go 1-for-8, and then it's going to yo-yo and ping-pong back and forth all the time. And at the end of the year, the numbers will probably be where they're supposed to be.
Well, the other thing, too, about last night was they gave up about 4 great opportunities to Vegas. Vegas was as dangerous on Toronto's power play as Toronto was. They got one shorthanded goal. They could have had 4. And Anderson was brilliant. It all evens out over time, and you assume their numbers are going to end up being pretty good. But I'm sure Babcock and Hiller are looking at last night and saying, oh, my God, like, we were almost as dangerous to ourselves as we were to Vegas. That was a good game, though, last night. And it is amazing. Sid's obviously, he knew that his contract was going to get done. Matthews is playing like there's an 800-pound gorilla off his back.
Yeah, it's remarkable. He's gonna go past 40 goals and maybe flirt with getting about 45, 46. Now, the percentages, I've heard the concept that it's shots from the point and teams are being smarter about it based on video and coaching. But this year, Elliot, 20 teams right now have a better than 20% power play. 5 years ago, only 3 teams finished the season with it. So there's clearly, there are more power play goals than ever. Whether there's more opportunities or not, I don't know. But there's more power play goals than ever. And teams are finding it harder to get those numbers on the penalty kill to where they're 85%, they're 84%. Is there one big reason that you've sought out or that coaches or players tell you that they think the power plays are just way more potent?
Well, I think yes, and there's a couple of reasons. Number one is most teams now go to, especially with their first unit, they're going with 4 forwards and 1 D. So, you know, and people don't take slap shots anymore in this league. So the shots are either coming in from closer or they're coming in faster because they're taken quicker. And, you know, secondly, you tend to have more, with one less defenseman out there, you tend to have a lot more skill out there. I mean, the only team that really, I think, with their first unit that still has 3 forwards and 2D is Nashville. And they're one of the only teams right now that still really uses a slap shot. And suddenly this year, their power play, which was once pretty dangerous, has not been.
It's the worst in the league.
The other thing, too, that's happening, Greg and George, is that because there's a lot more 4 forward 1D, we're seeing more shorthanded goals than ever. I think last year it was a record, and this year, I mean, there's some teams, Arizona's one of them, they've got, 15 shorthanded goals. So I think what coaches have decided is, you know, we'll get better chances, but we're going to give up chances because, A, we only keep one person at the point, and B, we usually only got one defenseman on the ice. So power plays have become more exciting for both reasons because of the way teams deploy their personnel.
Elliot, I know you and Nick debated this last night, but the Brady McNabb hit on Andreas Janssen, who's out now, you think that's a suspendable play?
I don't believe they're going to suspend him. I don't think they see it as a knee-on-knee. It's not an Ulf Samuelsson cam kneeling knee-on-knee. Actually, that's one thing I did last night was I went back and I looked at that one. Just an example of one that was really egregious.
And this was not the same thing. Now, the disagreement I had with Nick was he initially said in the second intermission when we talked about it was that it wasn't knee on knee. It was thigh on thigh. And my reaction was that shouldn't be the reason. If he just missed where it really could have been a disaster, I don't think that should be the difference between a suspension or a non-suspension. The more we looked into it, I think the biggest question is going to be, did McNabb really alter his direction? Like, if you generally stay in the lane you're going, they won't suspend you. If you have a huge change from where you're going, like your legs really go sideways or you really change the last direction and it go at the last second and it goes into a bad injury, then they will get you. And, you know, when I watched initially at high speed, I didn't think that McNabb really went out of his way to change what he was doing. When I saw it in slow motion, I felt a bit differently. But if you're going to tell me he's not going to be suspended because it was thigh on thigh, I disagreed with that. That's what Nick and I disagreed with. If you're going to tell me he's not going to be suspended because he really didn't change his path, you know, I would tend to say that that's somewhat legitimate. So I don't think he'll be suspended for that reason, though I've been wrong about this stuff before.